Hey, party people, it is Monday of Arnold Palmer Invitational Week, and also for all of you degenerates, which you probably are, this is Puerto Rico Open Week, everybody. I'm Ryan Balanji. Welcome to the press. It's our Monday show. We'll go over the outright tables for the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Puerto Rico Open, which I am very excited about because it is one of those just total lottery ticket tournaments where anything can happen. Not that it usually does, but we did get it last year with Brian Brehm, so we may get it again this year, even though Ryan Brehm is not there to defend, which is one of the great injustices, I think, actually, of the Puerto Rico Open. But nevertheless, we've got a great week ahead. Let's look back briefly on the Honda Classic. We got there with Chris Kirk at 25-1. Very, very exciting. He almost blew it. He almost blew it on the 72nd hole. Looked like he was trying to reach the green in two with the par 5 finisher on the champion course at PGA National. Looked like he kind of blocked it maybe just a touch. And I mean, on a 250-yard shot, just a touch. Doesn't have to be a whole lot to me, the difference between getting over the rock wall and looking like a hero or caroming off the rock wall into the water and making a bogey. Now, fortunately for him, Eric Cole, who was impressive all day. I mean, the way he was walking in putts, he was stroking putts, the way he played was like a guy who hadn't had to win 51 times on the minor league golf tour to get to the PGA Tour in a very long, long path to the PGA Tour. He played like a guy who had won 51 times on the PGA Tour, not the minor league golf tour. Got to 18, hit a second shot, got him into the chipping area, more or less pin high, but he caught it a little too flush, hit it a little too far, could not get up and down for birdie to win in regulation. They go to the playoff. Kirk hits a bad drive. He has the layup. Now with a wedge in hand, a lob wedge from like 106, stuffs it to a foot inside a foot. And then Eric Cole's unable to get up and down from the greenside bunker for birdie. Lips out. Very cruel lip out for him. And Chris Kirk is your winner on the PGA Tour for the first time in 8 years. Now, Chris Kirk was third in our model last week. Just out of curiosity, I was looking in the middle of the day, like, would have never thought in my life to bet Eric Cole to win this thing. He was 37th in the model, which is actually not that far off of where Sepp Straka was last year when he won. Not saying that Eric Cole is going to become Sepp Straka, who becomes a PGA Tour winner and guy who could probably play in the Ryder Cup this year. But contending in a PGA Tour event is not out of the realm of possibility for him moving forward. This isn't necessarily a one-week thing. Anyway, we get there with Chris Kirk. Great number. We keep hammering on these victory margin bets. We told you to bet one or a playoff. We got playoff. Playoff was plus 300. Easy money in tournaments like this where you know the margin of victory is often one or zero. Zero being a playoff. So we're going to try and look to that again this week. We'll touch a little bit on that in the back end of this. But let's get right into the Arnold Palmer Invitational outright board. John Rahm, as you might imagine, number one in the world, best player on the planet right now, is the top of the table at 13-2, plus 650 to win this week. I would stay as far away as humanly possible from that number as you can, because John Rahm doesn't really have much of a track record in this tournament. Really doesn't have much to show for it. I don't even know if he's ever played in it, really, other than maybe once. So this is not a venue for him. I'm not saying he can't do well here, but I would stay away from him just on that basis alone, because the next two guys on the table are either your horse for course pick of the week, Rory McIlroy at 9-1, or the defending champion, Scottie Scheffler, at 10-1. I would rather go look there if you're going to try to look for a favorite this week. Then Colin Morikawa and Max Homa, I saw them other shops at 20. They are 18 here at DraftKings. Again, shop around for whatever you're looking for. Xander Schauffele, Will Zalatoris, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas, all at 22-1. In recent memory, if you look at kind of the last 10-ish years of this tournament, and you try to take Tiger out of it and Matt Every out of it, because those two guys are on the opposite ends of the odds board. Tiger won this tournament, I think, with plus 350 once. Pre-tournament favorite. Matt Every won this back-to-back years. And in the second year of the back-to-back, he was 300-1 as the defending champion. So take those guys out of it, and then you kind of see your one surprise was Mark Leishman, who won at 100-1. You've had Tyrrell Hatton win at 50. You've had Bryson DeChambeau win as a pretty short shot. So there's no pattern here on the winners, but they do kind of seem to be in that 20 to 50, 20 to 60 range. And sometimes you do get the best player that's ever lived, maybe Tiger Woods win it. And sometimes you get Matt Every in the all-time freak occurrence category win it twice. After the 22s, you have Victor Hovland at 30 with Jason Day. I actually think Victor Hovland is someone you can really like this week because this golf course has been set up in the last few years to be extremely like old school U.S. Open difficult from tee to green, where if you get in the rough off the tee, you might as well just pitch out. Last year, -5 was the winning score. It could be that again this year. We'll get into a couple of reasons why other than the rough setup a little bit later. But needless to say, I think Victor Hovland is a great play this week. Tyrrell Hatton at 35-1, I really like. Matt Fitzpatrick at 35-1, I love. He is your other horse for course play this week. Hatton's a past winner here, by the way. But Matt Fitzpatrick is a guy who thrives on this golf course. Sungjae Im's 35-1 as well. Remember, he was like plus 750 last week, finished T42. He was my fill-in when Alex Noren had to withdraw from the tournament in one and done, and unfortunately that didn't work out. Jordan Spieth at 40, Sam Burns, Bermuda Burns, 45. I can get behind that. Plays Valspar very well. This is a more difficult golf course than that, I think. In some ways, in other respects, very similar. Long par threes, Bermuda, very quick. Lots of demanding tee shots. I could get behind Sam Burns this week. Cameron Young is 45. Tom Kim at 50-1. Feels like it's been very quiet talk around him lately, but that has nothing to do with betting. Then we get into the 55s. And I can be quite interested in two of them. Shane Lowry, 55-1, played well last week. Didn't get anything going putting-wise on Sunday. Eric Cole did. That's why he got into the playoff. But if he can just roll the rock a little bit better than last week, he's probably got a chance to win this golf tournament. And then Keith Mitchell is another horse for course play this week. 55-1, has a couple of top 15s in the last 4 years here. Played very well at Riviera. This is a really good number for, I know he's only won once, but this is a good number for a guy who's playing high quality golf. And you're still going to get an even better number on Chris Kirk this week. I'm not saying he's going back to back, but he plays this golf course better historically than PGA National. Of course, he just won one. He is 60-1 against a much tougher, much deeper field with 43 of the world top 50 competing this week. There was 44 pre-tournament, but somehow Harold Varner III's math worked out. He got into 49th and kicked out Lucas Herbert. So that's there. 70s are also interesting to me. Corey Connors and Tommy Fleetwood. I think Tommy Fleetwood could do quite well. Gary Woodland and Ricky Fowler, they are starting, the market is starting to figure them out, I think, that something good is happening here with both of these guys. Ricky Fowler probably a little bit sooner at the moment than Gary Woodland. But both those guys last year would be in the 100 range, 110 range. Now they're in the 80 range. Not saying win is imminent, but Ricky Fowler is putting some stuff together that I really like. And then down in the 100 range, and I'll throw in Justin Rose at 90-1, by the way. Past winner of this tournament. He won this tournament, by the way, at a time in his career when he was putting with his eyes closed. That's how bad it was. He's a much better putter now, but that's what he was doing at that point in his career. Taylor Montgomery at 100-1 very much interests me. Very, very much interests me this week. And then I'm curious about a couple of bombers because just being able to hit the ball out there is going to mean something this week because it's a 7,500-yard golf course, 7,400-yard golf course. The par threes are extremely long on this golf course. Par fives are, one's very gettable, couple are very difficult to get. We're not going to have any Bryson situation this year with someone trying to drive the green or drive 20 yards to the right of the green and set up a chip shot. That's not going to happen. But you are going to have players like Ryan Fox and Taylor Pendrith, who I'm mentioning specifically for this reason. Hell, I'll throw in Thomas Dietrich at 180-1, a guy I would really love to pick this week. The guys who can put a hurting on the ball, and if they just somehow keep it straight for long enough, then maybe it actually all works out in their favor. That's kind of my theory of the case. Now, Ryan Fox has not played his best golf lately compared to his 2022. Taylor Pendrith is playing pretty well. Thomas Dietrich certainly is playing pretty well. And then my other 180-1 that kind of stands out is kind of first clicks. Ben On, another horse for course guy, another guy who strikes the ball very well, keeps it in play. He seems to be on an upswing. Again, against this kind of field, you can't expect this to happen, of course, but that feels like a misprice to me given his current trajectory and given where he has been on this golf course in the past, in this tournament in the past. So those are the guys that kind of stand out after that initial wave of top players. And then wanted to look at tournament props with you since we've already been hitting that very well this season. And the market is figuring a close one here this week. If you look at the history of this tournament, and we do every week on the show, usually on Monday or Tuesday, depending on how we're doing it. But if you look at the history of the API in recent memory and winning margins, it's typically a close one. Going back to 2014, so the first of 2 years back-to-back of Matt Every wins, all but 2 years have been one-stroke wins. So, betting market plans accordingly. Plus 225 for a one-stroke win. The others have been two- and three-stroke wins. I would be willing to go a little bit of a flyer this week since we've played these very well when they've been evident. Take a one-stroke here and then go for three exactly at plus 600. Now, the 1 year it was three was when Rory McIlroy won in 2018. And then Francesco Molinari was worth a two-stroke win in 2019. But in the last couple of years, they have made this golf course much more difficult for this tournament. I would expect something very similar. And in the years when this golf course is particularly difficult, a one-stroke win is very common. Now, if you go back into the Tiger era, a whole lot of things happened here. He won by 11, he won by 5, he won by 2, he won by 1. He did everything here. But post-Tiger era, this is a one-stroke tournament pretty much every single year. So I like that at plus 225 as one of those tournament props to just hit. And again, it's not a ton of money, but if you feel a sense of confidence about the expected result and you place the bets accordingly, you should come out ahead, and it should be able to fund you on some other bets depending on what your card looks like for the week. So that's easy API look. And then we'll talk about the Puerto Rico Open, which is the opposite field event. 120-player field, Grand Reserve Golf Club, formerly licensed Trump International Golf Club. I played this course, played the Pro-Am in this event. What was it? Just pre-pandemic. So 2019, I think it was. Maybe it was early 2020. No, I think it was 2019. So the board this week, I haven't even looked at this yet. We just did the odds for this morning. 16-1, Nate Lashley to start. I actually like that number. Ben Martin, 20-1. I really like that number. Brandon Harkins, 22. Scott Piercy and Eric Van Rooyen, along with Akshay Bhatia, who apparently opened at 40, and people slammed that, although I'm not sure why. 25-1, EVR kind of interests me. Cameron Percy at 30-1, definitely does. Sam Stevens at 35 does, along with MJ Defew. And then beyond that, you start to get pretty deep pretty quick. Vincent Norman at 50-1. It is going to draw some attention. I think Harrison Endicott will draw mine at 50-1. And then, after that, this is a kind of crapshoot tournament. Just being honest with you, it's really hard to bet this with confidence. If you're going to bet this, bet small wagers, 3-4 guys, and if you get paid on Sunday afternoon, lovely. If not, please don't invest a lot of time and money in this. We will do a model for this tournament for Golf News Net members, and we will do a model for the API for our members. But please focus on the API. This is a gettable tournament, the API. The Puerto Rico Open, literally anything can happen. I wouldn't be shocked if a 1,000-1 shot won, and I wouldn't be shocked if the favorite won. And somewhere in between would also not be shocking. So just take it for what it is. Have a little fun with it. Have a little sweat on early Sunday afternoon instead of late Sunday afternoon. Sure, fine. Tournament props. Just in case you're curious, there is no margin of victory prop here, at least on DraftKings yet. It could be later. Will there be a hole in one in round one? plus 450 on a yes, no minus 800. I mean, I don't even know why that's out there. Hole in one of the tournament, plus 105 for a yes, no minus 140. What do they know that I don't? Because this tournament can be subject to a lot of wind being in Puerto Rico right on the coast. So I'd probably hammer no on the hole in one for the tournament. Just no, minus 140. Thank you. I'll take the money. That's a good minus money bet, honestly. Back to the weather factor for the API. So I'm going to be in Orlando this week, flying down tomorrow. Actually, in a few minutes, I have to check in for my Southwest flight. And we're flying down for a family trip, not to go to the API. We just happen to be down there this week. And the weather forecast is ridiculous. Typically, this time of year, this is around the time of year we go to Orlando for our family golf trip. It's usually a couple days in like the 60s or low 70s. Maybe there's one day that's 80. And typically nice and sunny, not too windy, you know, a little bit of breeze, but not much. This year, it's basically 90 degrees every day, high 80s several days, 80s others. Very windy a couple of days, like a 3-club wind one day, gusts of maybe up to 40 miles per hour one day, 2-club wind pretty much every other day. This is going to be a very tricky tournament. So keeping that in mind, I would bet lightly this week. Do not bet with a ton of confidence because in a gusty situation, gusting winds. It's one thing, hey, if it's a steady 10 to 15. But if you're getting gusts up to 20 in one day, 25 another, and 40 another, strange things can happen on a golf course with a lot of water and trouble. So plan accordingly for this week, knowing that there's a lot of things that could randomly happen that we just cannot account for in any fashion. And take it as it is, you know, to enjoy for what it's worth, have a little sweat, but please don't go overboard here. A lot of bad things can happen. The other tournament this week is the Kolegaard Classic. There is no LPGA event. Lily Avue won first LPGA title. I think she was like 22-1, shot 64 in the final round to win for the first time on the LPGA. On LIV, Charles Howell III won in Mayakoba. Not very surprising. He used to play that venue well. And it is surprising that he doesn't win on the PGA Tour. It was his first win at all, I believe, in, what, 7 years or something. But I guess congrats to him. His team, the Crushers, won the team competition by, like, 9 shots. And this is a little editorial thing about LIV. Most weeks that they've done this team thing, it's not close. Like, the team that wins by 6, 8, 9, 10. There aren't most many weeks that, you know, we only have nine tournament sample size now. But most of the weeks, the team thing is nowhere near. It's the person who wins often gets the job done unless like two other guys are close to the win on the same team. And I think that's kind of where it falls flat for me. But nevertheless, Crushers won. That was a little bit of a surprise, I think. But they weren't the worst power-rated team, but the worst teams were bad. And then on the DP World Tour, Marcel Siem won for the first time in 9 years, beating Yannick Paul in the final round, clipping him by a shot to win at DLF Golf and Country Club. Again, we liked Yannick Paul pre-tournament. I think he was 18 or 20-1, didn't get there in the end. A golf course that is pretty tricky to handicap, and Marcel Siem, a wily veteran, a guy who knows what it's like to be in those weird situations of trying to track someone down on a tournament that's hard to really advance very easily, gets the job done. And then this week, the other tournament we have is the Kolegaard Classic, as I mentioned, PGA Tour champions, Tucson, Arizona. I don't know why Steve Stricker is listed here as the favorite to win unless he entered last minute, because he was originally entered in the Puerto Rico Open. So take that for what it is. But Steve Stricker is just crushing it on the PGA Tour champions, plus 250. That's an unbettable number, frankly. I could see Jerry Kelly. I could see Bernhard Langer doing pretty well. Fred Couples at 22 is interesting, and I'll probably leave it at that. Yeah, maybe Rod Pampling at 55 could be interesting to me. Beyond that, I'm just going to leave well enough alone, say thank you. Good luck to everybody playing the 50-plus tour. That's a hard market to bet where we haven't defined who the best players are. Last year, we did really well money-wise, basically betting a gang of five with the same wager, and if one of them got home, paid for pretty much all the other bets, and if one of the longer ones won, got paid for next week's bets and then some. So we haven't figured that out yet. I'm not sure where this tour is this year. I mean, I know Stricker's great. I know Langer's already won. Jimenez should still be good, but is there any other person to look after? Is there a Scott Peril? Is there a... I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't know. Is Steven Alker still going to be as good this year as he was the last couple of years? We'll see. But I would pretty much leave this tournament alone and not even entertain it. But that's up to you. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you catch us on a podcast platform, please give us a 5-star review. It helps us reach more people. And we will be back with another show tomorrow. Probably try to record this in the morning. I'm going to do my model here in a little while for both tournaments. So I have it all done, ready to go. And you guys can look at it over the next couple of days as you get ready to make your bets for the tournament. So we'll do a Tuesday show, Wednesday show. Tuesday will be in the air with the flight will be about 12:40 when we're finishing recording this. So 24 hours from now. So we'll try to do things first thing in the morning, get you those model numbers, and then we'll get ready with a Wednesday show, Wednesday from Orlando. All right, I'm Ryan Balaji. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time on The Press. Have a great day, everybody.